President Bush describes health care as one of his top domestic priorities. He favors a bill that is supposed to reduce the cost of medical malpractice lawsuits. Analysts generally agree that malpractice insurance premiums are hurting the nation's medical system. The question is whether the president's plan would really fix the problem. Here's NPR's Julie Rovner.
Every time the president talks about health, he talks about medical malpractice reform. In fact, Mr. Bush's first trip of the year was to address the subject, which he frames as a major cause of spiraling health costs.
Many of the costs that we're talking about don't start in an examining room or an operating room. They start in a courtroom.
In the president's view, victims of malpractice should be able to sue to recover their direct economic losses, things like medical bills and lost wages.
But there needs to be some reason when it comes to non-economic damages in the system. And that's why I proposed a hard cap of $250,000 on non-economic damages.
Non-economic damages are those for pain and suffering. The president and many proponents of malpractice reform say such caps can hold down doctors' insurance premiums, but that view is far from universal. And some, like William Sage, say it's basically irrelevant. Sage is both a doctor and a lawyer who teaches at Columbia University Law School. He says it's not non-economic damage awards that are rising most rapidly, but economic damages, particularly for babies or children who survive with major disabilities.
The economic costs of these injuries can often run into the many millions of dollars in future medical expenses. And these are expenses that the liability system and the healthcare system collectively have to bear, and no effort to cap non-economic damages will even make the slightest dent on them.
In fact, says Sage, while he personally supports caps on damages, he doesn't think they address what really ails the malpractice system.
The long-term problems in the system are how to reduce medical errors, how to fairly compensate patients who suffer them, particularly how to provide for people's long-term medical expenses. The best tort reform, if you will, is universal health coverage.
And universal health coverage is not currently on the president's agenda. Sage acknowledges that this liability crisis is different for doctors than past premium spikes, primarily because it's more difficult for doctors to pass the increases on to patients or insurers. But he says that really addressing the malpractice problem requires taking a step back and acknowledging that the increase in malpractice claims is more a reflection of medicine's successes than its failures.
And if one takes the longer view over 30 or 40 or 50 years, one, I think, understands that as medicine improves, there are more opportunities for things to go wrong, people's expectations are higher, and the costs of treating patients who suffer avoidable injuries grows as well.
You can see that by looking at history. Sage says the first spate of malpractice cases in America came in the late 1800s when patients began suing doctors when their fractured arms or legs failed to heal cleanly.
And the patient would file a lawsuit against the doctor saying, you should have done better at setting my fracture. And 20 or 30 years prior to this period, almost none of these cases were brought for the simple reason that none of the fractures were set. Instead, the limbs were just amputated. So it was the improvement in medicine, the ability to actually treat these limbs, that led to the risk of malpractice litigation.
Today, for example, medical advances in cancer treatments have opened up new opportunities to sue. 30 years ago, a delayed diagnosis would have made little difference. The patient would have died anyway. Today, even a brief delay can literally mean the difference between life and death. Former Bush Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill also thinks the current malpractice debate in Washington is too narrowly focused.
It's ridiculous, and it's partly because they've accepted the notion that lawyers ought to have a big say in how medicine is practiced in the country. It's almost as though we've decided to make our society an adversarial society where if something goes wrong, we assume it was malevolent, and therefore we got to roll out the lawyers.
O'Neill, who became an expert in health issues as CEO of Alcoa, says he has a two-part vision of how to compensate those injured or killed as a result of medical mistakes.
One is to say that we, the society, will pay for the economic damages that accrue to a person when they're the subject of a medical misadventure. That is to say, we basically socialize the economic cost of things gone wrong in the delivery of medical care.
But at the same time, he says, the medical profession has to be held accountable, one of the major reasons for medical malpractice lawsuits in the first place.
We should then demand of medical providers, doctors, nurses, technicians, hospital administrations, that when things do go wrong, that there's an immediate acknowledgement of things gone wrong, and there's an immediate sharing of the details of things gone wrong across the whole society so that we can stop what I consider to be an inexcusable process of hiding things gone wrong.
Hiding things because they're afraid of being sued. President Bush is certain to call on Congress again to pass non-economic damage caps for medical malpractice suits in his State of the Union address tomorrow night. The House is almost certain to pass such a bill, as it has every Congress since 1995. And the Senate is almost as certain to reject it as it has over the years. Perhaps yet another standoff could lead both parties to seek another solution. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.